Couple of passages from the New Testament. The first from Romans chapter 12, verse 13. In a long list of directives from St. Paul, he says this: contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. And from Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hospitality. It's a sentiment that occurs throughout the scriptures, but the word itself only appears in these two instances in the New Testament. The Greek word is philoxenia, which literally translated means all our friends. Practice hospitality. On a list of things that concern the day-to-day living of Christians one with another. Well, we've been away for a while, and if I were to describe Beach Week in as few words as possible, I would call it Shark Week. Shark Week. Those that did the fishing caught, you know, 2-foot-long bull sharks and dog-faced sharks, or whatever it is they call them. But on two occasions, we had what might be considered a close encounter with an 8-foot hammerhead. One morning, we were having coffee overlooking the beach from a balcony, and we could see it just 10 feet offshore, perhaps. And on one other instance, one of the boys who was fishing in thigh-deep water had it brush his leg, and he bonked it on the nose to get it out, which was the wrong thing to do, as it turns out. But, you know, things worked out. We'd never had that experience before, to be that close to something that big and seemingly that dangerous. And it was kind of a stark reality check in some ways that this whole business of going to the sea, the commerce that's associated with it, and recreation and so on, is really an intrusion by humans into a very vast and complicated ecosystem. You know, what are the sharks doing that close to the shore? Oh, they live there. Just so happens they like stingrays, and the stingrays were that close to the shore. It's a very simple explanation. They live there. We are their guests. We don't often remember that or even act like it. But that set me to thinking, you know, on what it was I wanted to consider today and what I learned actually on the beach. This notion of being their guest, the notion of sharing and showing hospitality, the friendship that unites us even if we don't know it. Not a half bad way to, you know, to live together with these thoughts in the back of our mind. So I'd like to pose the question and then address it. How do we live in this way? How do we be their guest? Be their guest wherever we are and with ever whom we are interacting. This first note is overly obvious and should go without saying, but I have evidence to the contrary. Be their guest, wherever you are and with whom you are interacting. Be their guest with special care and attention to civility and courtesy. We were all taught that as children. But in a Facebook age where internet blogs are ubiquitous and where there are Twitters and tweets and knit Twitters, as far as I can see, civility isn't always, or maybe never will be any longer, the default. I made the mistake of Googling myself a couple weeks ago, and because I work for the state of Texas and a lot of my work is published online and all of that, I get a few hits. Well, we published a piece a couple of years ago linking heavy body art usage to deviance and crime, and that got a lot of attention in the media. And I hit one of the news reports of that's been out a year or so. And news reports on the internet are always followed by opportunities for just anybody to comment. Well, I read one of the comments. And somebody who I'd never met, nor do not know, nor ever expect to see, called me a name. Referred to my intellect in a vulgar way. Now, that's not the first or last time I expect that's ever happened. But it struck me that, you know, I don't know you, I never did anything to you, and you have every right to read whatever it is you want and react in whatever way you choose. But if, in fact, hypothetically, you were attending a conference or some meeting where I was presenting the material you just read in person and we were in the same room, there's a pretty good chance you wouldn't use that word in the discussion, probably. And yet, we pretend that the internet is a real place. We have friends, 7,000 or 8,000 of them on Facebook. And it occurred to me that maybe we're the last generation to assume that proper interaction is civil and courteous and kind until you've given a reason to do otherwise. I would say that if you even understand the internet as a place where you are at least nominally a guest, your life will be better. The people with whom you live and work and interact, their lives will be better if you be their guest initially and by default with civility and courtesy. Second, be their guest with generosity. And by this I mean initially the kind of generosity you would hope that all of us share, you know, even a kind of charitable contribution, generosity of spirit. But in this particular context, I want to define generosity more specifically. Generosity is, as I'm speaking now, the opposite of snobbery. The opposite of snobbery. Generosity in the sense that we have a higher level, or carry ourselves and interact with others with a higher level of appreciation for even small and little silly things that we often go without noticing or paying much attention to, like maybe the sunrise. These wonderful gifts we're given that each day come and go without much notice. This whole beach experience that we've been involved with for now, you know, 20-some years, you know, literally, Jeannie and I provide the house, and everybody that comes is, in effect, our guest, including the kids. And as is typical, when you are the guest in someone's home, you give them a gift. It's a little house gift tradition that we have. Well, it turns out this last week, Jeannie and I got a nice little house gift from the grandchildren. And the mindset with which it was received is what I'm trying to get to here when I talk about generosity of acceptance. This was not a very expensive gift. It was comprised of 6 or 7 seashells, of which there are bazillions of them on the beach, they're free, a crummy little stick, and some dental floss. That was our gift. And it is now, I will tell you, it's a treasured possession in our living room, near the air conditioner vent. It's a wind chime that a group of, you know, 3 or 4, 5 to 10-year-olds made us as a gesture of love and appreciation. And we do, in fact, treasure it. And that's the point. The mindset that accepts that kind of a gift because we know what's behind it and the people connected to it, that's a kind of generosity of appreciation that goes with understanding ourselves as guests in the company of others. Be their guest with a kind of generosity of appreciation for the little things that don't even cost anything. And another way to say that is they're priceless. Civility, generosity, and humility. Humility. In many of the circles I travel, I'm addressed formally with a title that I, quite frankly, rather like. I worked hard to earn it. And last spring, I met for the first time one of the guys that's in charge of the academic end of the football program. He's the academic advisor for the Tech football team. And I met him under some circumstances, long story, and never mind about that part. But in the course of our, you know, getting to know each other, he always referred to me by my formal title. And as I say, I don't, you know, I don't dislike the sound of that, but it does create some distance. And it can, for some, and I know them well, produce a level of arrogance that I think is just not helpful. Well, a couple weeks ago, Logan, the 10-year-old, the oldest of our grandkids, was in town for a week. And I thought of my friend Rodney, who I know by his first name. And I thought, I wonder what the football team's doing. I wonder if Logan would like to, if there's anything going on he might like to see. So I called Rodney up, and he addressed me the way he'd been. And after a few minutes of that, I said, look, Jerry's fine. He said, oh, great. Good. Well, now we're friends. And I said, you know, I got this 10-year-old in town. Is there anything that's going on? He said, not really, but I'd love to have you come over. I'll show you around the complex. Great. So Logan and I and Rodney wandered through the Tech football, had a great time, saw things that are kind of cool backstage, and ran into Cliff Kingsbury, just by chance. And Logan's got his picture with Cliff Kingsbury's arm around it. It's great. But the point is, Rodney and I are now friends. I mean, we're colleagues in one sense. But there's a level of friendship that I appreciate in a different way as I was his guest and friend in the complex. Be their guest through a level of humility. And part of what leaves me with that thought was the sort of suspension of the need to be formally addressed. Sometimes it works, but it just, you know, there's a level of authenticity that gives way to friendship in a way that that I appreciate. Makes me think of Giles McCrary in one way. You know, for years and years and years, you know, well honored and appreciated for some of the things he did. Not without his faults, let's not make any mistake about that. But I think he always took that with kind of a grain of salt, which I believe most of us around here do. You know, there's a level of authenticity that goes with people I've met here that are different than the sort of pretense that you find in the Northeast or in Southern California. And the lack of pretense is something I really appreciate in West Texas. Giles McCrary often used on himself the same vulgar profanity that was used on me in cyberspace. And I think he did it as a way of reminding himself and the rest of us too that we're all beggars in our own way, and all of us are way more alike than different. And that insight generates and produces neighborliness and friendship. And it extends as far as the eye can see, it seems to me. One of the more poignant moments of Beach Week was a one-on-one encounter that I don't get very often with Lily, the 5-year-old who lives in Austin. Toward the end of the week, she wanted to go back out into Shark Land, and nobody was going to let her do that on her own, so I went along. And we went out, you know, 20 or 30 feet into the surf, and I was holding her, and we were crouching down and just sort of letting the waves hit us a little bit, you know, and I'm talking eyeball to eyeball here. And one of the waves hit us a little harder and splashed our faces, and of course you can taste the fact that seawater is salty, and she'd made note of that. And at that point, I thought, this is going on in my head, little girl, you are one lucky person, because your papa is a PhD-educated social psychologist with special training in neuro-linguistic programming, and this is a teachable moment. I'm not kidding. I said, you know, Lily, when you cry, your tears are just like salt water. And if you like the ocean, and when you're sad and you're crying, you can take your finger and touch a tear and put it to your tongue, and you'll taste what tears taste just like the ocean. Now, that's called anchoring, and it does, in fact, work. Tears taste just like the ocean, I tell her. And she looked at me with those big brown eyes and said, boogers taste like the ocean. Now you know. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how the insight comes to you. There's a level of connection to the smallest of things, to the most vast of things. And when that's not lost on us, in whatever way it occurs, when we know that even when we are weeping, we are in touch with the most vast and profound of what God created. For when God created the cosmos, His Spirit moved over the waters, and out of those waters have come every living thing and every useful insight and every experience, the sum of which is really being His guest. We are, every moment of our lives, His guest in this place, whether this place be the room we're in, the home we live in, or standing on a beach or looking at a mountain or just taking in the Cap Rock. Be His guest with civility and generosity and humility, because He has decided, for no other reason than because He chose us, to accept us, to forgive us, and to make us the very crown of His creation. Be His guest. Amen.